always the case. You see from the title on the board up here this evening, we're going to be searching for the truth. You know, for us as Christians, this ought to be one of the main things that we strive to pattern our lives after in looking at God's Word is the truth, and then how do we apply that to our lives? But why do we need to be searching for the truth? Why does the truth make such a difference to us? You know, when we're dealing with people in our lives, does the truth matter? You know, not just in the church, but out in the world as well. Do we expect people to be truthful with us? Are we truthful with others? Does being lied to feel like somebody doesn't value you enough to tell you the truth, or just that they feel like you can be lied to and everything be okay? It doesn't make any difference one way or the other. You know, as the email come across yesterday evening for the speakers this morning and this evening and Wednesday on what the lessons were going to be, me and Colin were talking about this a little bit, that all three of the lessons, both today and Sundays, will fit together just perfectly. They may not say exactly the same thing, but the basis behind these lessons all works to the same thing. So I'd encourage you to pay attention this evening. Keep Barry's lesson in your mind as what he studied this morning, and see how some of this evening kind of brings some of that to light as well as we go through the study. You know, the world expects everybody to be truthful. When we fill out paperwork for work, for our doctors, for the bank, you know, any number of places, they expect what we to put on that paperwork to be truthful. Society today says that we are to be truthful to a certain extent. Like when it suits us or when it serves our purpose. Otherwise, we can get by with lying to people. They tell us, society, they tell us that truth is relative. Well, that's your truth. That's not my truth. I don't believe that my truth is different than your truth. But yet there is, and they tell us that there is no absolute truth. And are they right? Is there no absolute truth? Well, of course not. Not according to the world, there is no absolute truth. But for us as Christians, yes, there definitely is absolute truth. And that truth is found in God's Word. And yes, it does matter to us when we feel like we're getting lied to, or when that thought crosses our mind to lie to somebody else. You know, it should be a fleeting thought when we think about lying to somebody else. It should not be part of our ordinary, everyday lifestyle that we can just lie to people and not worry about consequences or whether they believe us or not. That shouldn't even be part of our lives. We should be as truthful to people as they expect us to be truthful, as we expect them to be truthful to us. So yes, there is absolute truth, and that truth is God's Word, and yes, it does matter. That's the foundation we build our Christian lives on, that God's Word is absolute truth, that we can firmly stand on the promises revealed within that truth. You know, a very simple verse to start with, John 17:17 simply says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So when we pick up God's Word, we pick up the Bible, we pick up our phone, open it up to a Bible app, that's truth. God's Word is truth. A couple of basic verses in Psalms 119, verse 142 says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Same chapter, verse 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. So when we look to God's Word for truth, that's what we're going to find. When we look to God's Word to see how we can twist Scripture to say what we want it to say, then we're not going to find that within Scripture. We're going to have to make that up on our own. And as obedience to the gospel brings us into Christ Jesus, as these verses imply, by the means of that same obedience also brings Christ Jesus into us as a guiding and directing light that leads us down the right path. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." That's through our obedience to the gospel. We are dead. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2 says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So since we have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. 1 Peter says that we should no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And where do we find that will of God? Well, of course, we find that will of God in His Word. And as our obedience gives us a different mindset, a different manner of life, we need to seek the truths in God's Word now more than ever, because now as children of God and wanting to inherit those promises, we no longer live to ourselves, but just as we read in Galatians, I died, but yet Jesus lives within me. This is not something that just comes naturally to us. You know, once we're obedient to the gospel, Scripture teaches that we're supposed to be old enough to understand the difference between right and wrong, to be obedient to the gospel. So by that age, we've already figured out how to lie, how to tell the truth, and everything else. You know, when you're raising children and something happens around the house and you ask, okay, who did what? And they start lying to you and you tell them, you know, if you just say the truth, you may get in trouble, but it won't be drastic. But if you lie to me and I find out that's a lie, you're definitely going to get in trouble. Well, the same way for us as God's Word applies to us. This is not something that comes naturally to us upon obedience to the gospel, but it has to be learned. And we learn through a study in God's Word and through life experiences. This is just a part of us and our continual growth in God's Word, trusting the truths we find therein. After all, Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, you could read this verse right here and I could close my notes and go sit down. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So when we want to find truth, we realize Jesus is at that truth as well. And John 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So for us to be searching for the truth, really, we're searching for Jesus Christ. When we want to find the truth in God's Word, Jesus is at the base or the foundation of that truth. So when we look to God's Word and we look for the truths on how to live our lives, Jesus is there. He's either set an example, he's give us teachings on it, whatever the case is, Jesus is there. And truthfulness is something that the world just considers a basic part of the moral goodness that everybody in the world has. But we have to understand that all truthfulness comes from above, not from the world. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we're looking for the truth, leads us to Jesus. Jesus says He's the Word. The Word was made flesh. He's full of grace and truth. That's where we keep coming back to Jesus, be the foundation of the truth that we find in God's Word. John chapter 18, verse 37. "Here Pilate therefore said unto him," of course, this is leading up to his crucifixion, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. There's two things I want to look at in this verse here. To this end was I born, to bear witness unto the truth, to be a living example of the truth in God's word. That's part of what Jesus Christ came this world to live his life for, is to set an example for us to pattern our lives after, that he was a living example in the truth of the truth in God's word. The second part I want to look at here is the last of that verse is, Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. We, being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, are of the truth. So when we study, or when we listen to lessons, or when we read, we need to discern that what is being said from God's word is indeed God's word. It's like God or Jesus speaking directly to us. Through our faith, we know that it is the truth. But for us to be serious about searching for the truth, we also have to have a heart to be receptive to it when we hear it or when we read it. We can't just take bits and pieces or take this verse and that verse and leave the rest of it alone. We have to accept all of it as the truth in all of its context. By that acceptance, we have to conform our lives to those truths. We can't just pick those one verse and two verses that we like. And you know, we've all heard stories, we've been part of studies, or whatever the case may be, where you go into a home and you're studying with somebody across the kitchen table and you pull out a verse and you read that to them and they say, well, that's not in my Bible. And, well, yeah, it is, it's right here. And they open their Bible and they cut out a verse because it didn't fit what they wanted it to say. We can't be that way when we're looking for the truth in God's word. We have to conform our lives to those truths. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You know, on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus' crucifixion, those people heard the truths from God's word. When Peter stood up and gave the speech that he gave, they were hearing truths from God's word. But then they acted upon that truth. They were baptized. Men and brethren, what are we going to do to remedy this situation? He said, repent and be baptized. Well, for us, as of the truth and looking for God's word, the truths in God's word, we have to act as well when we find those truths in God's word. We have to examine our lives, as what was mentioned this morning from the table. We have to examine our lives to see if we are indeed in the truth or if I'm in the world's truth. We can't live by the world's truth. We have to live by God's truth. And the Bereans gladly accepted the truths in God's word and searched the scriptures to find those truths. You know, we look at that verse and we'll have it here in just a second. Acts 17:11 says, These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that's the Bereans, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So they didn't only just listen to what God's word was telling them by who was telling them, or they didn't just look at the word and figure it out. They searched the scriptures to make sure what they were being told or what they were reading was actually what they were looking for and the message they want. And then they heard and they read and then they searched to verify what they heard to find out if it was indeed God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So Acts 17 is getting on the Thessalonians. He's saying, well, the Bereans were a little better off than you guys were because they listened, then they searched the scriptures. By the time we get to the first book of Thessalonians, they're catching up a little bit to the Bereans. We see here that those in Thessalonica have become now readily able to receive God's word as his word and the truth, and not simply some man standing on the corner telling them his truths. So they were a little bit behind the Bereans, but yet they were falling in line to do what we need to be doing, searching God's word for the truths therein and then applying those truths to our lives. John chapter 12, starting verse 47, says, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So this verse says that we will be judged by the word that Jesus spoke. We know Jesus spoke what God told him to speak. We know that Jesus was the living word. And we know that all truth comes from God. So on judgment day, we will be judged by the truths written in that word. That's another part of why this is so important. Not just to live our lives by, but yet we will be judged by that in the end as well. So since we are to be judged by that word, we need to be like those in Psalms chapter 86. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truths. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Teach me. We need to be taught to follow God's word and to look for those truths therein and then apply those to our lives and follow after them. A verse Barry used this morning, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness," which New King James calls that simply unrighteous deception, "in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they may be saved." So by their unrighteous deception, they will perish because they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So that's a warning to us as well that we need to be studying God's word for his truths and have the love for that truth when we find them. John chapter 8, verse 31-32 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, every time I read this verse, you know, maybe aging myself a little, every time I read this verse, I go back to the X-Files that used to be on TV all the time, because his main deal was, we're looking for the truth. The truth will set you free. Of course, he was looking for aliens on the earth, so he wasn't looking for God's truth. But it says, "As ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free from what? What is God's word, the truth in God's word, supposed to set us free from? We'll be set free from bondage, the bondage of sin, set free from the old law. We will be made free to enjoy the grace of God through our obedience to the gospel. So the truth will make you free, and this is a great blessing because we have all these blessings here listed. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And once we've been obedient to the gospel, that's us, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." So once we find those truths that says we need to repent, confess, be baptized, and we follow those truths, then we will be made free from the law of sin. John chapter 8, verse 36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." What were we saying back at the first part of the lesson when we're searching for the truth? We're actually searching for Jesus Christ. If the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. And that happens through our obedience to the gospel. And then the continuing studying of the word for how we ought to live. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? You know, the truth is something we should value highly as a child of God, because it's what we look to for our promises. It's what we look to for strength, for setting us in a foundation where we can be firm to the things this life throws at us, that no matter what, if we're founded in the truths of God's word, we can handle most anything this life throws at us. And that should be something we value greatly. And it's whether in our dealings here on earth or from God and his word or his son, our Savior Jesus. Because we know and can trust that his word is absolute truth. And it is that anchor for our souls that keeps us rooted in God. And as we just read in Hebrews, how shall we escape if we refuse the truths in God's word? I'll leave the lesson with you this evening. If anyone subject to the gospel call, we'd ask you to come forward while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.